We're present tonight, and certainly it would seem more full if we had our young people with us tonight, and we always miss them when they're away, but they're doing something very profitable for them tonight with the area wide, and so they'll be back with us, Lord willing, on Wednesday night. If you're visiting with us tonight, and I know we have guests with us, we are truly grateful and honored that you're here, and I hope that you won't rush off too quickly after we're dismissed, but hang around and give us a chance to express our appreciation to you for being here. Of course, it was mentioned by Tim that Brother J.T. DeFee is back with us, and of course, he's been in the hospital and recovering here for several days, and he and Sister Betty just celebrated 64 years of marriage here several days ago, and that's certainly worth mentioning. I thought it was even more interesting to hear how Brother J.T. was kind of fumbling through the closet at home, and he found this shoebox, and that shoebox had $82,000 in it and two nice handmade doilies. Went into Sister Betty trying to figure out what was going on, and she said, "I can't believe you found it, but I guess I might as well tell you now." She said, "For years, every time that you made me mad, I would always hand make one of those doilies." Brother J.T. got to thinking, there's only two in here. That's pretty good. He said, "Where'd all this money come from?" She said, "That's the money I made from selling those doilies down through the years." But anyhow, I want to congratulate them. We certainly appreciate them and others like them who are such an inspiration to us for their commitment that they have to each other. And I appreciate them very much. You know, singing, I think all of us recognize, is a vital part of our worship to God. Singing is something that all of us need to recognize as being extremely important. We worship God through our singing. We think about what the Bible says about our singing, and we recognize that when we sing corporately, as we've done tonight, that we are doing several things. We are speaking to one another. We are teaching one another. We are admonishing one another. And so it's a very serious thing when we assemble in our corporate worship and sing these songs of praise to God and encourage and admonish one another. Ephesians 5 and verse 19 and Colossians chapter 3 emphasize the fact that we do this through the singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. A few weeks ago, we looked at a particular song trying to bring to light more to the front of our minds the meaning of that particular song. And I think it's important for us to think about what we sing, to look at the words that we're singing and the words that we're teaching. We certainly want to teach accurately the Word of God, don't we? Well, I think we want to sing accurately as well. So we want to think about what we sing and the fact that we are involved in teaching as we sing. I want to look at that song tonight, "I Travel Down a Lonely Road and No One Seemed to Care." Let's look at this song tonight for just a few minutes. You know we travel through life, and life is just a journey. Life is a pilgrimage. We're strangers. We're sojourners. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through, as we sing another great song sometimes. And so as we travel through life, as we are on this journey, on to what we hope is going to be a much better life in eternity, it's a road that all of us must travel. Now, Jesus, in his teachings, tell us that there are two ways that we can travel in this life. There's only two choices that we have. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 13, Jesus said, "Enter ye into the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat." because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. In life, as we endeavor to follow the Lord's will, as we endeavor to do what He says, we, like many people we observe in Bible times, are going to find ourselves in the minority. Maybe we'll find ourselves like Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, when he just basically had thrown in the towel and had given up. He said, I only am left, God, and they seek my life. Sometimes the way is lonely. Sometimes it seems that nobody really cares. It seems like that maybe we are on our own and there's no encouragement to be given. I can't help but think about the example of Job long ago and the problems that he experienced. Look at what Job said in Job 19 and verse 14. Job said, "My kinfolk have failed. My familiar friends have forgotten me." If I were to meet an individual and have a chance to talk to someone who felt like that not only their friends had forsaken them, but their own family had turned their back on that individual as well, this would be an individual that I would consider to be in a state of almost dire helplessness. Somebody extremely lonely. I think Job here expressed the feeling that nobody really cares for me. And we know from reading the book of Job, and one of the great lessons that we learn is that as we go through life, it's not going to be easy. Life is full of troubles. It's full of difficulties. And that's no reflection on us. That's just how life is. This same man Job said in Job chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, that man born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continues not. And sometimes, in fact, many times, these burdens that we face in life put us in a spirit of despair. I've often thought about how I might react if I were placed in the same situation that Job found himself in. Job lost his children. Can you imagine that? Not only did he lost his children, but Job lost all of his material possessions. And if that's not bad enough, Job found himself with great physical illness, tormented by boils. Notice what Job said in Job chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. "After this opened Job his mouth, and he cursed his day. And Job spake and said, Let the day perish when I was born, and the night in which it was said that a man-child is conceived." Job was in great despair. So much so that Job cursed the day in which he was born. Job said, "I wish I had never even been born." And then the words to our song says, "I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me." You think about how the psalmist cried unto the Lord in Psalms chapter 77, verses 1 through 3. He said, "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. And he gave ear unto me, In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Now here, when the psalmist talks about expressing with his voice his complaint unto God, that's not talking about the same kind of complaining that maybe we think about from time to time. Israel of old certainly was guilty of complaining, but complaining in this sense that the psalmist used it refers to simply going before God in prayer, petitioning Him for our needs. It's not whining and murmuring like we find the children of Israel in Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1. When the Bible says the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. Why were these people complaining? God had done many great things for these people, had He not? He had led them out of Egyptian bondage in such a powerful way. He fed them miraculously. He gave them water miraculously. He delivered them from the hands of their enemies. And yet they said, "Would to God that we had just died back in the land of Egypt." Ungratefulness. Unthankfulness for the blessings of God. And yet there is a sense in which this song says we can raise our complaint to God. When things are hard, when things are difficult, I can go to God in prayer. And then the song says, "I heard Him say so tenderly." You know, God speaks to us today, and He does so through the impersonal agency of His Word. Now, back when our Lord was here upon this earth, He spoke verbally and personally to His disciples. He taught many people. But now Jesus has gone back to His Father. And yet He still speaks to us today, not through the personal agency by which He did upon this earth, but through the impersonal agency of His Word. Hebrews chapter 1 says, "God, who at sundry times and in various manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son." The impersonal agency of Jesus Christ speaking to us through His Word. And Jesus speaks to us through His Word. In John chapter 6 and verse 12, Jesus explained to His apostles how that He was going to leave, but He would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who would guide them into all truth and bring all things to their remembrance. And now today, we have the privilege of opening up God's Word, and we can read those words of Jesus. "I then heard Him say so tenderly." And we know that Jesus speaks through His inspired Word. We know that all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's profitable unto us. It will lead us to be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. Jesus may say to us when we complain, "My feet were also weary upon that Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load." Sometimes when we think that we've got it rough and we think that we just can't stand it much longer, we need to reflect back on what our Lord went through. The scourging, the beating, the ridicule. And as if that were not enough, our Lord was compelled to bear His own cross to Calvary. And there they nailed the hands and feet of God's Son to that old rugged cross. The book of John says that Jesus bore his cross. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 32, Matthew says that Simon bore his cross. And of course, if you look at Luke's account in Luke chapter 23 and verse 26, it says that Simon also helped Jesus bear the cross after Jesus had gone as far as he could. So Jesus said, "My feet were weary." He says, "Be faithful, weary pilgrim. The morning I can see." You see, this life is not all that there is. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. There's hope and peace at the end of life. Whatever suffering we may have to endure, whatever difficulty that we face, will shortly end, and we can spend eternity with God forever in heaven. Be faithful unto death. I will give you a crown of life, Revelation 2 and verse 10. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Jesus said, just lift your cross and follow close to me. Jesus said in Luke 9 and verse 23, if any man will come after me, if any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Jesus bore his cross faithfully. There are crosses that we'll have to bear in this life. Crosses that are indeed difficult to bear. But Jesus said, you lift that cross. You follow close to me. The next verse says, I work so hard for Jesus, I often boast and say, I've sacrificed a lot of things to walk the narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune. I'm worth a lot to thee. How often do we think that we make great sacrifices for Jesus? Sometimes we think to ourselves, you know, look at what I'm doing in the Lord's kingdom. Look at the time I'm giving to advance the cause of Christ. Man, I'm sacrificing. But then you think back to men like Paul and Peter. You think about some of those early Christians that literally gave their lives for the cause of Christ. Sometimes it causes us to think and reflect how little we really may be giving up for the cause of Christ. But we say sometimes, I've sacrificed a lot for you, Lord. And yet James says, but now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I can't boast about what I've done for the Lord. And the real reason here that their boasting is evil is because they have absolutely nothing to boast about. Just like that verse we talked about this morning. After we've done everything that we've been commanded to do, we still have to say we're unprofitable servants. We've done only that which is our duty. One of my first jobs as a teenager, I got a job at Kmart. And I worked in the toy department, and I was proud to be second in command. I was 16 years old. And I made sure that all those toys were always stacked up neatly. That's why to this day, when I walk around a toy department anywhere, I cringe when I see children throwing things around and messing everything up, because it takes me back to those days when I tried to keep those kids out of there and keep them from messing things up. And I remember how I used to feel good about how, you know, the boss would brag on me. That's the finest looking toy department I have ever seen. Everything is in place. kids running for fear of their lives when they come into it. And I used to think, you know, that's something to boast about, isn't it? But really, is that anything to boast about? All I was doing was my job. And today it seems like when people just do what they're supposed to do, that we've got to reward them somehow, don't we? Well, when we do everything that we're supposed to do, we have no reason to brag or boast. We have done what is our duty. When I do a good work on my job, I've done what I'm supposed to do. And that needs to be reward enough. But so many times we think that we've done so much for Jesus. And then the last part says, I'm worth a lot to thee. And we are worth a lot to Jesus, to God. God sent His only Son, John 3 and verse 16, to give Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. Every single individual is certainly worth a lot to God. We find the illustration of Matthew chapter 18 and verse 12, how that a man had 100 sheep and one went astray. And the shepherd was so concerned about that one little lost sheep that he left the 99 in the safety of the fold, and he went out and he searched diligently till he found that one sheep. Yes, we are worth a lot to God. When we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for us. And yes, we need to get our sense of worth, our sense of value, from how much God has demonstrated His love for us. But then the song says, and then I hear Him gently say to me. And now what we're going to do here is observe God talking to us. Jesus says, I left the throne of glory and counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon that cruel cross. When we think about what we've done and what we're doing, think about what Jesus did. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And yet in spite of our difficulties, in spite of what God and Jesus have done on our behalf, we're encouraged by the words of the song that says, but now we'll make the journey with your hands safe in mine. So lift your cross and follow close to me. God's going to help us on this journey. He's going to supply what we need. It's through Christ that we can be strengthened to live the kind of lives that will glorify Him. And then very quickly, the last verse says, O Jesus, if I die upon a foreign field someday, 'twould be no more than love demands, no less could I repay. No greater love hath mortal man than for a friend to die. These are the words He gently spoke to me. Of course, Jesus said over in John chapter 15 and verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. The greatest demonstration of love that's ever been is Jesus giving Himself for us. And if Jesus is willing to give Himself for us, we ought to be willing to give our lives in service to Him. Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Christ surely has demonstrated the greatest love possible by dying on our behalf. God has given us the greatest gift, the gift of His only begotten Son. And then we hear the words of that song, if just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. Reminds us of Mark chapter 9 and verse 41. Whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Just a little cup of water. Something that seemingly may be meaningless. And yet what he's saying there is that he just wants our best. He wants us to give of ourselves completely to him in his service. He doesn't compare what I can give to what you can give. He just wants me to do my very best with what we have. And then the song says, but if by death to living they can thy glory see, I'll take my cross and follow close to thee. The Apostle Paul had a wonderful attitude. Paul said, if I live, it's for your good. If I die, I get to go be with the Lord. He said, to depart is much better. And so Paul had the attitude that by my life, by the things that I do with my body, God is going to be magnified. He's going to be glorified. That's why as Paul came to the close of his life, he could say in the words of 2 Timothy 4, beginning in verse 6, that I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, is going to give to me in that day, but not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. And I believe we need to have that same attitude as Paul, and we need to be willing to give our lives, even for Christ, if need be. So I think the question that challenges our thinking tonight, based upon this song, is this: will you follow Jesus Christ? He hasn't promised it's going to be easy. He's told us about the difficulties that lie ahead. But he's also promised us the great rewards that are in store for those who are faithful. You may be here tonight and never obeyed the gospel outside of Jesus Christ, and thus you are without hope in this world. But tonight you can become a New Testament Christian. Tonight, if you're willing to believe in God and in Christ with all of your heart, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. In that faith, if you're willing to repent and turn away from every sin, as Jesus said in Luke 13, 3 and 5, I tell you no. But unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. If you'll be willing to confess Jesus with your mouth that he is the Son of God, like the eunuch did in Acts 8 and verse 37, and then tonight be baptized into Jesus Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. Be buried with your Lord in baptism, Romans 6, 3 and 4. And as you're buried into the Lord's death, immersed in water, the Bible says all your sins will be washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. Tonight the Savior